Blog Talk Radio.
This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. Today's Media Newsmaker interview is a little different. I don't expect many people will know either my guest, David Bankston, or the company he represents, Neighborhood America. It's very likely, though, that you may have already encountered a Neighborhood America program and not even realized it. The Naples, Florida-based company does enterprise social networks for CBS, Fox, the Scripps Network, HDTV, among others. And David Bankston is the co-founder and chief technology officer for Neighborhood America, a leading provider of solutions for online engagement and interaction via all forms of content. Specializing in software integration and technical innovation, David has devoted much of his career to creating next-generation technologies specifically designed to solve real-world business problems. And don't get hung up on that. We're going to explain all that in just a moment. Now, under his leadership, Neighborhood America's solutions have been successfully adopted nationwide by various organizations. And media companies are turning to Neighborhood America in order to harness the power of the web to effectively engage audiences. And prior to Neighborhood America, David's technology career included 15 years at LexisNexis, where he was responsible for many innovations that are still in use today. David, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Appreciate your time. David, I suspect a lot of people are scratching their heads right now. Enterprise social networks, what the hell are you talking about?
Wonderful. Great segue. Basically, an enterprise social network is a network that is really focused to the enterprise. Now, let me kind of let's break that social network apart. Social networks are... I think people have pretty well got that figured out. It's the MySpaces, it's the YouTubes, it's even some of the photo sharing sites like Flickr and so forth. So the term social network now has become it's almost ubiquitous. It's almost anything that lets you get together and share content and start to meet others and have profiles and discuss your issues. And it's basically a way to bring together people who are interested in a specific community. And it's a community of interest. So what we've done, and basically we've really been working at this over 7 years, we have taken that social network premise and focused it and built a platform, a net native software as a service solution that tailors a social network to the enterprise. The enterprise being a business, in the public sector, a government organization or an agency, and of course in the media sector, a network. We have many networks, some of which you've mentioned. So these are communities that are purpose-built communities built to basically create a new source of revenue for these individual businesses. And then specifically in the case of public, it may be to engage the public in a conversation, the equivalent of the old public comment ways. This is the new way to do public comment. So that is what an enterprise social network is.
So one example of what you're doing might be Springboard, which you're doing for CBS, right?
Sure.
And I'm going to come back to one second. The difference here, I want to point this out because I've actually given this some thought, and you tell me if I'm wrong here. MySpace is a social network, and people think of it as they're going in and they're having fun. It's not enterprise specific. However, it is certainly generating revenue for Rupert Murdoch and the Fox companies.
Yes, but how could it generate revenue for CBS, for Johnson & Johnson, or
right,
some brand? The problem with today's social networks is that they are very much like the Wild West. in that you really don't know what you're going to see from click to click or from page to page. And there is no regulation, there is no moderation, very little, if any. And so when you are a business and you're looking for an ROI, you're looking for a way to tap into your customer base, which then equals your social network. So you want to improve on things such as your R&D process, your product release process, your customer loyalty programs, you know, et cetera. Those things are things that you want to have control over as you communicate with a social network or with your stakeholders in that social network.
It all sounds like all positive for the enterprise, for the company.
Right.
But where does the independent user benefit from being part of an enterprise network as opposed to a social network?
The consumer, then.
Consumer.
Yes. Well, let's take an example of like a Chrysler Corporation.
Okay.
Chrysler is looking to build or would love to have a social network built around their products and services. So what are the problems that they're trying to solve? Well, they're trying to improve their market share. They're trying to understand why they keep having so many misses in the market. Today, whatever they're doing isn't quite working to tap into the new generation of car buyers. By using a social network, they can engage on a very personal level with these individuals who have bought their products in the past, who have an affinity for a Chrysler product, and who desperately want to provide that feedback to Chrysler in a way that it will be constructively, you know, listened to and acted upon, and then to have the full circle to actually see that comment and that feedback was indeed incorporated into the next generation of the product. So imagine you are a Chrysler 300 owner, and you're saying, you know, I really wish this armrest just was a little lower because I keep bumping into it. Well, you give that feedback, and others like you then potentially give that feedback to Chrysler. The next time, you know, the next generation car has, you know, a redesigned armrest, because the people are then helping the corporation who's done this in a vacuum in the past to improve their products and services. And so then I'm the consumer, I'm going to go buy another one because Chrysler heard me and they did something about it and they care about me, and so that's something I've gotten out of it. So that's just one example.
Well, let's talk, I kind of sidetracked us there, but let's talk about CBS and Springboard.
Sure.
First of all, what is Springboard?
Springboard is, it was actually a specific initiative. It was a contest. So in the case of CBS, they were looking to find an intern for Katie Couric this summer, and they sent out a request to all of the main journalism schools saying, hey, go to cbs.com/springboard, and you can please, you know, submit a video of some of your work or a document, a white paper, if that's what all you have, and you can, you know, have the chance at being considered for Katie Couric's intern. And, you know, that may include on-air spots, that may include, you know, all sorts of really, you know, career-making opportunity for that individual. And so using our social network platform, they created this place where these journalism students then were able to, again, of course, submit their, you know, create an account, submit their own media, and also comment, rate, and rank others' content. And all of that feedback then is managed by our back-end solution, again, which is software as a service. And we were able to provide very comprehensive reports, and actually using the software, you generate your own reports. And so from the data that they got, Katie was able to pick her intern. And they haven't announced that yet, but they have picked an intern for that particular program.
And so did all these videos, and how many videos were contributed? How many people participated?
You know, I can't release that because it's CBS's information.
Okay. All right, but was there advertising put on these pages?
No.
No advertising?
Well, there was advertising on the first login page, and then on some of the subsequent pages, there was less advertising until it got to some of the, I think one of the upload pages had no advertising. So that's a combo answer there.
So this was not necessarily an effort to earn revenue as to were they more interested in testing it as a medium?
They were testing it as a medium, number one. Number two, they were putting their toe in for just building social networks around the concept of journalism.
Mm.
And so it was a way to, hey, can we just sort of put our toe in the water here and look at this concept.
Interesting. Now, you guys did something else with Katie Couric, right?
Yeah, we've done a couple of things in the past. When she first took over the CBS Evening News, she actually sent out a request on the first evening of the closing program. She said to America, "Hey, I'm looking to figure out what my sign-off should be. You know, should it be good night, good luck? Like, you know, should it be that's all, folks? You know, whatever it may be." And she played some famous sign-offs from other anchors. And so she asked America, well, what should it be? Well, within really about, it was about 24 hours, we had over 50,000 responses on what your sign-off should be. Now, that's one little simple question. And we had 50,000 people giving their comments on what that should be. And what was really interesting is all that comment was broken up by time zone, so you could see, you know, you could see geographic locations of where people were listening and where they were commenting from or watching, and it was very interesting data that was obtained from that.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten from CBS about this? What have they liked? What have they wanted to tweak? And where is it going from this point forward?
Well, I have to be cautious, as we are under NDAs with them, but they are very pleased. They were very pleased about the Springboard results, and they're looking to do much more engaging social networks in the future.
Mm.
And that's really probably as far as I can go on a specific customer.
And how is this different than on the CBS.com website, where they might have forums for their people to participate? What's the difference?
Well, today's world on many of the media sites is specifically forums and or forum post uploads or things like that. It's not a place that you are a community member of. In the future, expect to see places where when you go to a network, and I'll speak in generalities here, when you go to a place, you'll be able then to have your profile, and there'll be a much more of a two-way conversation between you and that network. So you then are an extension of their staff. You're an extension of their citizens journalism network. And so as you then grow in your relationship, then perhaps you get ranked higher than others. And then perhaps your content then, as it becomes newsworthy and becomes relevant and people understand you, then at that point your content goes to the top of the list and gets reviewed first and has potential ability to you know, drive a lot of what, you know, is going on and what is reported on. So you really have the ability to affect the news.
This is kind of like, I'm thinking of ePinions.
To some degree.
Or know, maybe reader reviews on Amazon, that kind of thing?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a place where that was product-based specifically, but everybody, I read the reader reviews on Amazon. I'd love, you know, to see what others have thought and what others have bought.
Mm.
That is a component of social networking. Social networking doesn't have to be real-time by any means. It can be past.
Let's talk about another media client. Well, this is Mr. Media. We have to stick to the media.
It is.
Fox, you've done work with Fox as well.
Yes, Fox News and then HGTV. Sure, Fox News, we are the mechanism which powers the Fox News U report. So if you go to foxnews.com, and you can click around on many of their shows, and everything from Hannity to Fox News Now and so forth, you can click around all their shows, and on most all of their shows, there is a section dedicated to the U Report. And the U Report is, again, a first step at having the public, the viewers, join into their community and affect news and affect what we're reporting on and comment on what we're reporting on. So there's, you know, as you go to that site, you know, you can even just search on it and you'll find that once you're in the U Report, you'll see that all roads in there lead to Neighborhood America. So you'll see Neighborhood America branding.
So, oh, you do have branding on that
yes,
site.
Yes, there is.
And again, tell me about where's the revenue generation in this?
In this particular case, it is very much advertising focused for just the intro, just getting more people to look at the site, which then creates more page views, which creates more revenue opportunities. So in this case, it is specifically looking at getting people to come back. It's okay, like today when you go and you're looking at news, do you constantly pull up Fox as your news channel, or do you pull up CBS, or who do you pull up? So what they're trying to do is increase owner loyalty, viewer loyalty. And they're looking to say, you're a part of our team, and we want to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that then will equate revenue. So as you're getting, consistent night, consistent viewership, that goes into ratings, that goes into revenues, et cetera. So there's several rows to it.
It's that stickiness term.
Yes.
They want more eyeballs. They want you to stick around longer.
Absolutely. Mm. And if you're uploading your content, you're sticking around longer.
And am I the only one who finds it just kind of amusing that you're doing these things for CBS and Fox?
It is rather amusing, and then you throw ABC in there too.
Are you doing ABC as well?
Yes, we are.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
If you go to ABC, we power what they're calling the Be Seen, Be Heard program, which is, again, citizens journalism.
Hmm.
So you got the big three there, or the big three out of four.
Big three out of four.
And it's quite interesting that we're powering them all, and they are very different organizations, as we all know.
I imagine there must be a rival out there who's going, we got to go after one of these. They shouldn't have all of those.
You would, yes, and that is the competitive market that we're in. So we have to constantly push the envelope and try and stay ahead.
Now, there's one more example, and I love this one in particular because the others are generally news-driven. You're doing something for HGTV. I think it's Rate My Space.
Right.
I love this because it's both it's consumer-friendly, but it's got a great revenue model, and it's been very successful, right?
Absolutely. It's been extremely successful, and we've actually published some white papers on how to build a community from scratch. And so in this particular case, HGTV's Rate My Space was launched about 9 weeks ago, and it was launched with zero members, essentially. It was a new community. And within those 9 weeks, we have now we've got over 40,000 new members, all new, and this is new eyeballs and new page views, et cetera. We've had over 10 million page views, and we've had over hundreds of thousands of comments from these individuals. And then on top of that, there's thousands of rooms and photos and things like that. So it is a fully fledged, living, breathing community that launched 9 weeks ago and has already created a new source of revenue. And this is where we're going with enterprise social networks again. We create a new source of revenue that you didn't have before. And I can share this with you. Before the launch of HGTV.com, or before the launch of Rate My Space, HGTV.com was pretty much sold out with inventory for the next few months. So
on its website.
On its website, yeah. So they had sold enough. They had sold all their page views, so they couldn't sell any more ads. So after the launch of this, they now have plenty of inventory, and they've done a nice job selling that, and they've already made quite a bit of money.
Yeah, it seems like So, I'm sorry. It seems like the HDTV is a true win-win. It's very clear what the revenue model is and that it generates revenue. So that's the enterprise side. But on the other side of it, the consumer side, it's a lot of fun. And it's something you want to keep. If you have an interest in this, in this interior design and homes, this is something you're going to go back and go back. And the show may only be on the air for, you know, 6 months a year, but the website can go indefinitely.
Absolutely, and yeah. It's only going to get bigger and better. And the website is actually creating the show instead of the other way around. Additionally, the website now is even being used for things that they hadn't thought of. So, for example, if you are a designer and you post some of your rooms on Rate My Space and they get ranked very highly, well, what better portfolio can you make for yourself to point your customer, prospective customers to?
So, David, how will these enterprise social networks, and I'm assuming that people who are listening to this podcast are comfortable with that term now that we've explained it about as well as could be explained, how will they continue to evolve the relationship between TV programs and their viewers, and TV programs and their website and their viewers?
Very good question. It's what we're seeing is that, as you mentioned earlier, the TV program is only on generally one time a week. Generally. Now, there's lots of exceptions. But if you take that premise, that's one time a week that you're engaging with the people who are your viewers, and we'll call them stakeholders, in that TV program. So, why wouldn't you want to have 24/7 engagement in that TV program? And then, once you've done that, now the TV program has much more, now the network, actually, or the social network that you've created has much more interactivity, and it's fresher than you could ever get in that once-a-week touch. So what I see is that the social network, if you're looking at if you say your TV program is coming on Tuesday, well then the social network by Friday, you know, that's current information, which then should drive the Tuesday program of next week. So it basically should reverse what has been the traditional way of the TV program creating the content and then saying go to look at our web if you want more information or if you want take two and all that sort of thing. I see it totally reversing the way TV programs and programming is made in general.
Now, David, we're having this conversation the early part of summer. For TV, fall is usually when they launch new shows. What's ahead for Neighborhood America? Do you have new shows that you're attached to? Are there new networks? What's ahead? What's your fall preview?
I can tell you that there's plenty of new shows and plenty of new networks from many of the customers we've already talked about, and are plenty of new. There's a lot of great stuff coming out this fall. Some of which I can't comment on. One thing actually I can comment on is as of today, a new customer just launched. It's actually Men's Health. And, I can't really go much further into it, but if you go to the Men's Health site, they've launched a new community, and it's powered by Neighborhood America. And so it'd be quite interesting. But what you'll find is, so in addition to on-air, there's also paper media that we're working with, and all forms of really just communication that we're really digging into. Specifically, we're focusing on heavy innovations when it comes to what we're calling a new concept, another one we're introducing called Video Comment. And so look for that showing up in some of these customers that we've talked about, really state-of-the-art stuff.
And do you worry at all about, we talk about enterprise social networks in terms of branding. Is Neighborhood America have to be careful to keep its name out there as a brand on some of these networks in some subtle way so that people know that, you know, there is a company behind it so you keep getting this business?
Yes. That's the short answer to that. We want to keep our branding out in a subtle way. I mean, we are not by any means looking to steal the show in any, you know, in any type of form. But we do want to let people know that this isn't an in-house solution. You know, it is. We are selling a built, you know, a net native software as a service solution. And so, as you buy the software, it is essentially plugged into your existing website, and it's on. It's on quickly. I mean, we turn social networks on in a matter of a week, even. And so it's really a very, it's the next generation of how software is getting sold you know, and just generally acquired.
Great. Right. Well, David, thank you, first of all, for being very patient with me, and I'm sure a lot of members of the audience who had no idea what they were getting into in this interview. So thank you very much for explaining it and making it clear and making the connection to media. And we appreciate you being on this week.
You're welcome.
Folks, as always, if you'd like to keep up with Mr. Media's Friday interviews, you can subscribe to the site via email at www.mrmedia.com. You can also subscribe to the audio feed in the podcast section of iTunes. Thanks for joining us. Please come back next week for another Fridays with Mr. Media.